We're going to be continuing. Last week, we dealt with a few so-called case studies with regards to a testing mindset, just to explain, I'll just do some brief introduction to the testing mindset for the benefit of those people who just joined us, so we can actually move forward and then understand why we need this testing mind in our Christian life. Okay. Before that, let's pray first. Okay, let's commit this morning to the Lord. And we can continue. Father, we thank you that we have come into your presence. We are thankful for the many people, or at least the brethren, who have made time, Lord, to come and hear your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill us to teach us your word. Father, I pray that our eyes will be open to truth in your word that will govern our lives. Lord, we love you. We want your word to be part and parcel of our life, not just part and parcel, but Lord, to be the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Father, we are Bible believers. Pray, Lord, that you help us to live that as we learn more and more about your word. Teach us, Lord, therefore, to be guided by your Holy Spirit through your word. Speak to every brother and sister. I pray that this, about 45 minutes or so, will be an encouragement, Lord, to all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a testing mindset. Just want to briefly, a testing mindset is necessary for us as Christians to look at all things, okay? The reason why we need a testing mindset is because there's so much error, so many different philosophies of this world, so many wrong, false doctrines and churches that claim to teach the truth. And as a Christian, the goal is not to be suspicious, but the goal is to be vigilant. There's a big difference, okay? To be suspicious means everything and so is wrong, it's definitely wrong. But to be vigilant, okay, just like a dad or a mom or a Sunday school teacher or any teachers, they will go on and teach and do their work, but they're also vigilant for people that may creep in and try to kidnap children and all that, okay? So there's a difference between being suspicious, paranoid. I know of people who go into churches, is they'll ask you this and ask you that and ask you that. The moment you see something not right, they'll immediately, it's wrong, I'm not coming. The kind of mindset. But we need to be vigilant, especially for fathers, for church leaders, for Sunday school teachers. We need to be vigilant because God has given us the responsibility of looking after sheep, our children, the members, and people who come that we teach the truth, okay? So our memory verse, we actually have a memory verse, all right? So who would like to try the memory verse? Actually, it's all there, but I'll put it away first. Okay, Psalm 119, what I've done is actually memorize it in like three words. Okay, Psalm 119 verse 128 says, therefore I esteem, that's the first one, all thy precepts, the second set, concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Okay, Psalm 119 verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Okay, so that's how I memorize that. So I'll just give it to you now, but remember for your quiz next week, we will actually be testing that. Okay, so let's read together in Psalm 119. We read the in memorization, it's best to start with the reference, and then after that, the verse, and then you read the reference one more time. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. Psalm chapter 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Okay, so this is the psalmist's heart. He esteems all God's precepts to be right. The word esteem means to consider, to make a decision. This is right. And every false way he hates. The word hate literally can mean an emotional hatred. Say, I don't want that, or I'm choosing the right, and therefore I'm not choosing the wrong. So we need to be careful because there are a lot of philosophies, so-called Bible doctrines. There's a doctrine in Singapore right now that's going around, not all, but in MRT, we know that there's a teaching from Korea that says that God is a woman. Okay, God is not a woman, neither is he a man, he's a spirit. Although God manifests itself in the Lord Jesus as a man, okay, but God is a spirit. So there's no gender with God. We need to be clear on that. Okay. Are we ready to test some of scenarios that may happen? Okay, questions for testing. Okay, last week we dealt with 6 already. I just roughly go through. All right, so I'll give you 2 minutes, okay? So the idea is as someone comes to you, maybe that your child comes to you and says, I want a tattoo. Or someone comes to you and says, should I have a tattoo? So how? So you take 2 minutes, think of Bible verses, think of reasons why. Okay, the goal is actually to test it by the Bible. The key in testing mindset, you must actually have in your mind why is right by the Bible and why is wrong by the Bible. And then you make a decision based on what's on the Bible. Okay? Okay? Let's give you 2 minutes. I want a tattoo. Is that right or wrong? And should I allow that in my family? Should I allow that in church? Is it okay? Discuss. Okay, don't just say yes or no. Say why, okay? Why? Because sometimes our children or people will actually need to ask, oh, why? Why should I have it? Because we have about 7 questions to ask. So I know the time is short for you to discuss, so because there are a few questions. Anyone need any more time? Okay, we'll go ahead, okay? So group one will answer. Then after that, all the rest can add. Come, group one. What's your answer? I want a tattoo. What's the Bible? Why? Yes, no. The Bible does say, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Okay, the Bible actually says that very clearly. In the Old Testament, God actually gave a very specific instruction to the Jews. You are not to make the cuttings in your flesh, not print any marks. Printing any marks is very clear, okay? In the Old Testament, what they do is that they print marks on themselves to indicate their worship of Baal. And so God said, I do not want you to identify with this kind of people, with the kind of marks. Cuttings in the flesh can refer to piercings, okay? Can refer to cuttings in the flesh. You know, some people really make really horrendous pokings and everywhere, okay? And they cut the flesh, okay? Because the cuttings in the flesh, remember, when Elijah was fighting or was standing against the prophets of Baal, after they tried to get Baal to answer, Baal didn't answer, what did they do? They started to take knives and started to cut themselves. Okay? Cutting themselves is very prevalent today about teenagers, all right, in rock concerts. Why? Because cutting of the flesh has the blood that comes out actually is a sacrifice to the demons, all right, when they worship the pagan gods, okay? And they deliberately, hopefully by cutting themselves, they get a sense of control over their own lives, and it seems that there's some demonic thing involved, okay? God says you are not to follow these ways, all right? You need to be very careful, all right? If ever there was a temptation, cut yourself. Remember, it's demonic, and therefore you need to ask Christ. If you are a Christian, surrender yourself to the Lord, right? But in terms of tattoo, God says you're not to bring any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Okay? I am the Lord. Means I am holy before God. And the Lord Jesus says, this is Jehovah. I'm Jehovah. You are not to print any marks because by printing mark, you're identifying with another God. And that's idolatry. Okay? But Pastor, what about people who... Okay, so any questions on this verse? So if your children come to me, but some people may say, but I just want to write my name here, or I want to print Singapore here. I'm being patriotic, you know. I have actually friends, Christian friends, who actually tattoo whole Bible verses on their hands. Does that make it right? Does that make it right? You need to be very careful. Just because you say, but I'm still worshiping God. Yeah, you worship God by breaking His commandments. Does that make sense? Okay. And so we have to be very clear that number one, God said so. That's a Bible passage. And if anyone, but, and you start to explain, there are reasons why. For example, I know a pastor in Australia, before he was a Christian, I mean, he was in a gang, in a secret society, and so he had lots of tattoos, hands. After he became a Christian, he believed God called him to preach. You know, he's always very, very sensitive to this, and every time, even though it's the middle of summer in Australia, he will wear long sleeves to cover all his tattoos, so that he doesn't stumble people. So yeah, Brother Joshua, you can move over this side. There are some people who, before they were Christian, they had a tattoo, but after a Christian, they regretted it. But you know, you can actually remove tattoos today. You can. All right, but it does cost a lot. So you have to pray about it. If you really follow the Lord, ask the Lord for grace. And I know in Singapore, there are free tattoo removal service for people who wants to break from their past, especially after they've changed their lives. All right, so we want to honor the Lord, okay? And I know for some Christians, oh, it's too expensive for me, or I really cannot do it, but I really want to honor the Lord. Well, then cover it, okay? As believers in Christ, for people who want to live right after they have done wrong, we don't need to judge them, but also if there are opportunities that we can contribute to help the person get rid of the tattoo, we should. Okay? Any questions? And for children, it's a no-no simply because it's against God's word. All right? Parents are helping you now, so you don't have to ask for that. Yes, temporary means what? Like, I love Singapore and all that. Can take out one. As long as it's a sticker, lor. It's a sticker. So how does that work? Okay, I think that needs a lot of wisdom on that. Number one, okay, the purpose of this tattoo is to worship Baal, number one. Number two, it's going to be permanent. Okay, in the worship. If the children say, no, I love Singapore, so if 3 days and wash it off, I don't think we should make a lot of fuss over that. Okay, but then after that, he want to make it permanent. Then that's a different story. Does it make sense? I don't think we need to jump up and down over every little thing. Yes, you have to pierce the flesh, yeah. Okay, the earrings one is something that the scriptures never actually teach. Okay, all we can say at this point for myself as pastor is number one, I don't think it's wrong for ladies, because the Bible does talk about ornaments on ladies. The Bible never says ornaments on men. Okay, in first Peter chapter 3, let's turn there. It's quite clear that God actually talks about it's nothing wrong for a lady to wear ornaments. All right, it's part and parcel of expressing herself. So I don't think God frowns on that. Okay, I don't think God frowns on that. Based on the scriptures, let's see, I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 3, okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Okay, let me just read. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of apparel, or wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, I know in some churches teach it as literal. Say you're not supposed to put makeup, you're not supposed to put earrings, you're not supposed to do anything. I don't believe that's what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, have you seen ladies who doll themselves out like Barbie? You know, you really can see the cheeks are so red, and their earrings, whatever, hang to here, and everything. It's like a walking gold something. Yeah. God doesn't want us to be outlandish in the outward appearance. And here in Peter says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. So based on that, I don't believe it's wrong for ladies to doll themselves up. I mean, okay, you need to look pretty for your husband, okay? And for ladies who are not married, be a bit controlled. I know some of the ladies who are not married, it's like they really want to attract. You need to be careful. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, all right? But there's always a balance of the heart, okay? So for ladies, since in the scriptures it's pretty clear, it's all right. But don't be outlandish, right? Guys, God didn't say anything. Okay, in fact, I need to study a little bit on the history of, and I think the crossover came because of men trying to act like ladies and that kind of thing. I'm not too sure. Okay, don't quote me on that. But the Bible never says, specifically from the scriptures, there is no indication of any men who actually put ornaments on themselves. That includes earrings and stuff like this. Okay, so. Does that help? At least it gives us a little bit of idea, because if we cannot argue from silence, we cannot actually say, because the Bible never said, therefore I can. No, you can't say that. All right? You can't say that as well. So it's better to say, Lord, if you didn't say it, I won't do it. Just to honor the Lord. Okay? Example, as a dad, your child, dad says, okay, use the red carpet. Okay? Dad never say, cannot use the green. And I go ahead and use the green. That is actually a wrong way of thinking. That's actually asserting your own authority over your dad. If dad says, can I use the red one, then I will still go, dad, can I use the green one too? Or can I use the green one? Oh, yeah, can you use? Does that make sense? So we need to be very careful on this. Okay, does that help? Any questions? Does it help? Okay, so I think at least if we are clear on that, in our practice also, with our children, with ourselves, we are very clear. All right, God wants us to be men. For men, emblems of our character is our character, our strength, and our decisiveness for the Lord. Okay, for the Lord and living for Him. That's our decisiveness. Okay? All right, any questions? Okay, if not, we move on to the next question. Good questions, keep it coming. All right? I don't claim to know everything. Okay? I'm just a man, but as much as possible, I'll answer it from the Bible, and that's where we need to go. Okay, the next one. I'm a boy, I want to have long hair. Why cannot? Okay. All right, group number two, okay? We take 2 minutes to discuss that, then after we... Is there a Bible verse that you can share with your children or with anyone? Okay? I want long hair. I'm a boy. Is it okay? So we are testing it by the Bible. What does the Bible say? All right, it should be quite straightforward, this one. Okay, group number two. How? I'm a boy. Okay, Hank comes to brother T.
爸爸，我要长头发。
Okay. Remember, sometimes traditionally we like that, but okay, anyway. Okay. Jesus is so long hair. Okay, Jesus did not have long hair. The painting of Jesus with long hair is taken from the Italian artists. They drew it because most Italians have long hair. Okay, the impression, if you look at the Bible, the appearance of Jesus, there are a few very strong evidence. Jesus just looked like a common Jew. Why? Example, remember, in order to betray Jesus, Judas Iscariot need to give the soldiers a sign. Because if the soldiers are Romans, they don't know who Jesus is. And say, okay, whomsoever I kiss, that's the man. So Jesus didn't have any outstanding features that make him stand out with the rest of them. All right? And so Judas Iscariot, remember, some people say it's in the night, so it's dark. No, all of them had torches, so it's quite bright. All right? And so Judas actually had to go up to Jesus, kissed him, and then the Roman soldier, that's the guy, let's get him. Okay? So Jesus looked like any ordinary man. He didn't have any outstanding features. Okay? So that's a very important picture. That's what I mean by testing. And you need to know, all right, Jesus did not have long hair. Okay? Otherwise, the verse they're going to show you will contradict Jesus' life. And Jesus is perfect. And Jesus will not go against his word. Okay? So any further thoughts on that? I know this is a traditional view, and people tend to see Jesus as long hair. No, he didn't. He didn't have long hair, all right, according to the scriptures. All right, so that's why we need to test it by the Bible. Anyone else need to can give a passage or? Yes. Okay. Which is? So based on this verse, it's written here, does not even nature itself teach? Nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. Paul actually told the Corinthians, you have long hair. Why? Nature itself, you don't even need God to tell you, it's accepted, you know? There is a shame to a man to have long hair. And if it's put in the Bible, you can be clear, Jesus did not have long hair because he's not going to go against his own word. Okay? And you go to any common Jew today, they all have short hair. It's very clear. And so Jesus was a Jew, he was a common man, he had short hair. All right, so that we have to be very clear on that. Yes? When he was in prison? Jesus was in prison for how long? Jesus was never in prison. Jesus was never in prison. He was arrested, but he was never in prison. He was... How long was the trial of Jesus? The trial of Jesus was 6 hours. Right? He was arrested, put next morning, Pontius Pilate. by 12 o'clock, sorry, by 9 o'clock he was crucified until 12 o'clock. Okay, so the short time the hair wouldn't grow as long. Yes. Okay. If you have to ask the question, is my hair really long? Then it's time to cut your hair. Agree? To me, y'all wouldn't say I have long hair. But even if I feel it's long and my children say, no, la, pa, your hair not long. Because for me, my gauge is this. The moment it touches my ear, it's long. So I need to cut. All right? Okay. Maybe another way of saying it, if someone else tells you you look like a girl, you need to cut your hair. Okay? But the most important thing is, yeah, sometimes people can say relative, you know, in my culture, the hair for men is longer. Okay? Let this be your guide, okay? Long hair is a shame. And then after that, there's all the cultural implications. As long as you don't look like a guy, look like a lady, it's time to cut your hair. If you feel that you need to go and cut your hair, go and cut your hair. All right, so that you won't give any, you don't have to struggle with that doubt. If you really honor the Lord, then just obey this. Okay? Any questions? Just feel free, yes. Okay, that's a vow, that's different. You cannot include in this. It's a vow towards God, it's a Nazarite vow. Okay. It was a Nazarite vow. The idea of the Nazarite vow is actually a group of people set apart for God. There are two types of Nazarite vow. One is temporary, one is permanent. The permanent one is a permanent set aside for God to the day you die. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. And his entire life is devoted to God. And when people see, when the society sees this Nazarite, they wouldn't see that as shame. They know that they are under a vow. Okay? Samson was a Nazarite. But he broke all his vows. Okay, wait. And then the temporary one is after they keep for a period of time, fulfill a vow, they go and cut their hair.
It's a vow. It's a clear vow.
So there must be a clear context as to why they're doing, especially if it's a spiritual vow before God. Okay, vows before God cannot be broken under any circumstances. Okay, good. All right. So, okay, the next one. I'm a girl. I want to have short hair. Why cannot? Now, of course, short hair means you short until you look like a boy. Okay, fair? I want to define that. Because for some people, short hair means here or here, whatever. Okay? Okay, I know this is a little bit controversial for some people. Okay, some ladies are really short. What about those people who want to shave off their hair for cancer or whatever, you know? To support the cancer, whatever. Okay, that one, let's put that out first. Okay, those are situations apart from this. But I'm a girl, I want to have short hair. I mean, short means very short. I mean, not talking about just shoulder length and all that. Really, really short. Like a guy. Okay? Group number three. Well, I sure can answer. Come. For a woman to have long hair is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Okay? For ladies, God gave you that long hair for your glory. Alright, so why do you want to have so short a hair that you look like a guy? In the context of Corinthian church, Paul discusses short hair, long hair because of one thing. Short hair on ladies in the Corinthian time means that you're a prostitute. That's why Paul says, no, don't do that. Make sure you have. But God, Paul actually goes further. He actually says, look, God gave you long hair so that it can be your, it's actually for your glory. Your long hair is actually your glory. And if you think of it from God's perspective, God, if you give me to my glory, then I'll gladly have long hair. Because God is what you gave me, and so therefore I'm going to make sure it's long to reflect your glory. Does that make sense? Okay? So this is a Bible teaching. So if you want short hair, like I say again, if this is clear Bible teaching, let's stay there. Alright? Because if we want to go anywhere else, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Any way out of God's word becomes out of God's will. Okay? Right? And it helps us as parents to make sure our children know that God made us male and female as well. And it teach them the proper role gender that God gave them. So when they grow up in society, they ever have a very clear rule to guide them. The teacher can say something, no, my dad taught me this, and the Bible says this, I'm going to believe my dad and mom. It may be hard, but be strong. Okay, because if your dad and mom loves God and God is true, then we need to stay by his word. Okay? All right. Any questions? Okay, next one. Okay, watch anything on TV. Okay. Group number four. How would you, guys, this one transcends all, okay? Every one of us are in that. So I can watch anything on TV. I didn't qualify it. If you have, you just share it with others. Everyone just listen in. You can write in all your the verses and all that to help you, okay? Yes. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will set no wicked thing before. Then you need to define what is wicked. Anything wicked is things that are not holy, things that will actually teach us things that you know is contrary to what God teaches. Okay? Examples, immorality. Even in Singapore, do you realize when Singapore made the first kissing scene, it was headline news in 1980s. Remember those people in Singapore? First time there was a kissing scene in a Singapore Broadcasting Corporation, it was headline news, okay? Before that, no. But you know, you go to any other channels today, it's everywhere. Especially the late night movies and all that. All right? Especially the Korean movies, the whatever movies you watch, all these have all these things already. Immorality, physical contact between unmarried people, rampant. It's okay. Okay, it's okay on the TV. Witchcraft, magic, Harry Potter. Okay, Harry Potter, a lot of these magical things, especially for children, it attracts them into a world that is actually supernatural and spiritual. And the only spiritual information our children need is from the Bible. Anything else takes them away elsewhere. And they start to fantasize about witches on broomsticks and stuff like this. This, you know, for me, there was a pastor, I was really taken aback. I was a teenager, and this pastor literally believed in ghosts. The type of, that kind of ghost, literally. Okay? And his rationale was this. If it's appearing all over television and everywhere, and people are talking about it, of course it's true. And he's from Singapore Bible College. It's like, hello. All right. There are only two spiritual forces in this world, Christ and our God, and the forces of evil. Okay? So, witchcraft movies is rock music. Sometimes some of the documentaries are good, but there's a pulsating beat behind. You need to be careful. Satan is very smart. He'll give you what is good, but he puts in the bad. Okay? That's why sometimes when we do watch documentaries and some of the movies that come on, and we're very careful, but when the music starts getting bad, I mute it. Because we don't need that sound. We need to see just what the animals are doing, one another, killing one another, kind of thing. Alright? You need to be very, very careful. I will set, that's a decision, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will not have anything to do with Hollywood. Alright? I know some of the Hollywood movies are very funny, you know, they're, and some of them are quite clean, right? But at the same time, we need to be very careful how. I believe God actually says, I will set no wicked thing. Immorality is rampant. And even for us, when we go on the internet, we need to be very careful as well. That verse transcends everything. Doesn't just talk about TV, it also talk about books. You also talk about magazines. You also talk about any form of things that you feed your eyes on. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Whether, okay? Any questions? And this is important because it affects our spiritual influence. It affects our spiritual life. It will. Because what you see goes straight in and stays there. I can still remember things I saw when I was four, 5 years old. Okay? And you know, sometimes I can vividly still see it in my eyes. Because it starts here. God gave us a wonderful thing called the brain. And once it goes in, it will not come out. And you know what happens when images go into? You know how many of you have watched horror movies before? Put up your hand. I have, yeah. How many of you after that couldn't sleep? When I was young, I had this thing. I always thought that there was people at the bottom of my bed trying to grab me. These are things that happen. Okay, if I can share what Joanna went through, it's okay. When she was only 2 years old, I bought a CD. I wanted her to learn Chinese. Okay, and this CD has three folk tales: Little Red Riding Hood, Lilliput, you know Lilliput, Xiaorongguo, Gulliver's Travels. Okay, and one more I can't remember what. Then I thought there was only these three, so I bought it so for her to learn Chinese. And then I played on last time was VCD, I think. And then I didn't realize, after the three, it's about 10 minutes each. They actually have fourth and fifth. And the fourth one was a girl whose parents died, taken care of by the grandmother. And then after a few seconds, the grandmother actually died. And then the next scene was a graveyard scene with all the spooky things come. And that night, Joanna had three nightmares. Okay? And to me, that was, the next day I take a hammer and I just destroy it and get rid of it. Thank God that stopped after that. But you know what? There is that, it goes in, even for, that's why, do you realize, okay, it's a crime in Canada for anyone to babysit their babies under 2 years old with iPad. It's a crime. Okay, they have other reasons why, but it's a crime. You know, I'm very concerned, but I cannot interfere because if they're not my children and I don't know them, when babies or young people below two, they will glue to the iPad. Have you seen that before? I have seen a 12-month-old swipe the dad's phone. 12 months. They are smart. The thing that goes in stays there. We are swiping from young. I always make it a point that my children will go eat and children will look at it. Don't watch me. Because what goes in stays inside. We're in a spiritual war, and that's why God actually gave, if we obey this, we'll have less problems next time. Okay? So our TV, some homes now, Christians' homes, they don't have TVs at all. Control that. Okay, for adults, what's not good for us? No, what's not good for our children? Generally it's not good for us too. So we need to be very careful. Okay? I'm not trying to control your viewing, but I'm saying put God's word. Say, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. When we do that, our children will follow suit. Okay? And then we will be strong as a family as well. Okay? Yes. Yes, definitely. Big business, I think. I know. It's as good as watching TV. I think the mobile phone, if you read the articles 2 or 3 weeks ago, the mobile phone is something as a pastor I'm praying seriously how to deal with it in the church. Okay? It is not healthy for us to come to church and everyone sit down doing this. I want you to think about that. If all of us just come to church and all we do is this, why come to church? Number one. Okay. Number two, this is one of the biggest, most sinister influences that Satan ever created. Break up families, to push people away from God. I'm saying that, you know, for me, I tend to be a little bit extreme, but I think not so much extreme, but if you really look at what's happening to our children, to churches, because of this simple device. Did you know that Google and the people who made all these things, the Google creators, are people will not even allow their children to have handphones because they know what it can do to control them. You read the articles that has actually come out. Brother Cloud and was sharing with us how even in America, those inventors of all these social media knows what captures people's attention, and they input all this that the creators of those social media will not allow their children to have mobile phones at all. And this is something that we have to, children, sometimes you ask your dad, why can't I have handphones? Because it's not good for you at this age, unless you really have a multi-million-dollar business, really, that all your people are. And you know, it helps mom and dad to walk with God and to help you walk with God. Okay, I just want to put it out there because it's becoming a very, very, very sinister. In the name of, I need to have friends. Honestly, how many friends do you realize in this lifetime? You only have best friends are probably less than 10. Best friends. I know some Hollywood stars got like 3 billion followers. But really, if they get into trouble, can they call them? Why do Hollywood stars commit suicide? If they have so many friends, you know, be very careful. And this one, yeah, you're right, Brother Henry, we can go on and on, but you have to be very careful. And that's why even Brother Cloud, did you know even Brother Cloud, I was very, very challenged by him that whatever he watches on internet goes to his wife. They are actually what we call controls or protection type of software that when you use, it will actually send the statistics of what you actually saw or when, what, which website you went to another person. And Brother Cloud said, I do that to keep myself accountable, to make sure I don't go into that kind of websites. Are we going to do that? I think we need to. Not because we want to, we need to. It's just the mobile phone is destroying our next generation. And so that's something that I'm praying about. Pray together. And parents, we need to unite on this. Because I'm sure if you see some of this thing, I actually have a DVD on social networking if you want to watch, about a Christian family whose heart was heartbroken because they allowed their daughter a mobile phone. Nice, prim and proper daughter, goes to church. But by age of 18, she became gothic. And she moved out, she lived in with a gothic boyfriend and all that kind of thing. And then the father and mother said, we regretted giving her mobile phone. Okay? It's a very real problem all over the world. So, thanks for bringing that up. As a church, we need to face that. Okay? I know of people who come to church service who Google and do other things, check their email, and they don't give respect to the Word of God. And that's something that we need to be serious about, okay? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And sometimes the thing they watch may not be evil, you know, but it may take up so much time, and it draws their heart away from what is really important and urgent. Okay, any thoughts, further thoughts? I hope we all pray for our families, for our children, and for our church with regards to that. Okay, these are serious matters. Okay, let's go on first. I can marry anyone as long as he's a Christian. We have group number two. Group number two. Yeah, I can marry anyone as long as I want, as long as he's a Christian. This is especially important for those who are of the marriageable age or people who are looking for spouses. The decision that you make and the testing decision, because some of you may actually have friends or that and that. So we need to be very clear what the scriptures teach. Okay, group number two. Anyone, you can discuss also in your own groups, and after that you kind of have the verse and see whether it parallels that or not. Yes. Group number two? Yes. Okay. Why? Except they be agreed. Okay? Okay, that's one. The general consensus among Christians, oh, as long as he's a Christian, he's okay. It doesn't matter what he believes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He does. If you really want to live for God, you'll be looking at someone who fears God. You will be. Okay? And someone who actually believes. I'm not saying 100% compatible, everything must. I don't believe that can happen. I don't really believe that can happen because otherwise, what's the point of God making everyone different? Okay? Remember, in the marriage is actually to put two persons who may be incompatible to become a powerful fighting unit. All right, for the Lord, not for your own ends. Okay, but the foundations must be the same. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must love Him. You must surrender to Him. And for ladies, you need to look for a man who fears God and loves God more than you. Because if he loves and fears God more than you, you can be sure that he will love you and he will stay by you. Okay? If you're dolling up for a man, you are attracting wrong crowds, if you know what I mean. If you try to doll up and you want to attract people by your flesh, and people attract to your flesh, they will love you because of your flesh, and if your flesh grows old, he may just leave you. Alright? Okay? And for guys, the person must be a Christian. It's quite clear. The Bible is very clear. Alright? And the lady must love God and be willing to be a hard worker and submissive. Okay, submission is a very big thing today. Okay, some people just don't want to submit to authority. Okay, especially for girls who may have more earning power, which is not their problem, not their fault. So, but their heart must be in submission to God and to His word and to authorities. All right? Okay, another verse, be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. This passage has to do with partnerships, whether it's in relationship, whether it's in businesses. We need to be very wise, okay? For those businessmen, just because a non-believer have billions of dollars, it looks very lucrative to go into business with him. God says if he's not a believer, his philosophy of money-making may not be the same as yours as a believer. And Paul says don't mix together, all right? in marriage relationships, a lifelong contract, you have to be very clear. It is actually a sin, right, to marry a non-believer after God has made it very clear as well. Okay, so parents, how do we help our children? Teach them this from young. Teach them this from young. Why? Because remember, the guy or the girl that he's going to marry or she's going to marry is growing up at the same time. Agree? They may not have met yet, but they're growing up at the same time. So you need to pray. That is so early to pray for a wife. So early to pray for a husband. You know, you need to pray for your children. God, I pray for a godly spouse for my child. It may just be just a weekly prayer, but you know, as they get older and older, you intensify that prayer. All right? Okay? Okay, we have... I do not spank my children at all. When they do wrong, I just scold them. Maybe I just throw it out because of time. I do not spank my children. There are some people who don't believe in spanking. Don't believe, it's actually a belief system. They say, I will not spank my children. Okay? Is it biblical? What? Anyone? We will just throw it up for discussion because of time. Try to finish in the next 5-10 minutes. Sorry? Okay. Foolishness is born in the heart of a child. I'll give you. Foolishness is born in the heart of a child. I'll give you the verse is in Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is born in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. Okay? The scriptures advocate the rod. The scriptures advocate the rod. Not because God is sadistic, but rod is literally a taste of hell for a young child. If you apply it rightly, we don't spank the child to the point that the child breaks the bones and all that. That's wrong, okay? Oh, we have to be very careful. The Bible says foolishness. When a child is born, there's a lot of foolishness. They'll just do all kinds of things, okay? But the Bible says that when the child does wrong and you correct it by this, the child links this, the foolishness with this, and say, nah, I don't want this, and therefore I better put away this. That's God's idea, to put away that sin so that there's a judgment. But you know, foolish, the rod is actually a taste of hell for the child. It's actually a taste of hell. Okay? Now, God is just, and therefore the rod must be applied, the strength applied must be equivalent to the punishment. Or to the sin that was committed, all right. So what are the punishable sins? Will you punish a child for scoring 75 upon 100 for maths when you expected 85 upon 100? No. Why? Because it's not a sin for a child to have tried hard and could not meet up to the mark. It's not a sin. You should spank the teacher. No, just kidding. Then the child will then be motivated by fear to learn. Okay, what I call spankable, spankable offenses are sins: lying, deception, stealing, disobedience to parents. Our parents, don't take disobedience from your child lightly, because if the child can be disobedient to you, he can be disobedient to God next time as well. All right, okay. But as parents, God will give us wisdom how much we meet. For example, for spanking offenses in our family, it's very, very serious. Okay? Can range from 10 to 100, depending on whether the person wants to confess. But other things, even if they break my favorite, I don't have a favorite vase, but even if they broke my handphone and all that, it's not a spankable offense. It's an accident. And when the children are smaller, their hands are smaller. And so you cannot expect them to hold things properly. All right, it's not. But no, as they grow, you would expect more of them, and that's where it's important for us to. I'll give you a few verses. Okay, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Well, I'm gonna die. You're gonna kill me, Dad. No, the Bible says, just trust God. He's not gonna die. Okay, thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell, when it is applied properly. Okay, sometimes we spank our child out of anger. Fathers, mothers, that's sin. We do not punish our child out of anger. Okay? because the rod of correction shall fail. Proverbs 22, verse 10. All right? And it's very important. I know I take it, we had a discussion before, but Proverbs 22 talks very clearly that if we punish our child out of anger, it's not going to achieve what God wants to achieve in the child's life. Does that make sense? Spanking is a deliberate disciplinary process. It's a deliberate, in other words, there must be prayer over it. You must be sure that there's a charge against the child that he has done wrong. The child must understand that he has done wrong. And the child must accept the punishment. And then you give it to the child. And then later on, after that, when the child is sobbing and crying, you ask the child, do you know why?
He said, yeah, I do.
Okay. And then after that, you pray with the child, affirm your love, hug the child, and don't ever bring it up again. So the child knows there's a second chance to move forward. Does that make sense? Okay, we went through that in camp this year, so that was quite nice. But remember, spanking is actually a God-ordained instrument. However, let me say this. Some children don't respond to spanking because their backside is very thick. Or they just don't respond, okay? The key there, I believe, is correction. What do you do to correct the child? There must be consequences. When the child has done wrong, there must be. Some parents close their eyes. Don't do it again. Then the child do it 16 other times. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Like a spoil record. After the child is just singing songs to it, you know. It doesn't matter to the child anymore. The child needs to know the first time he does wrong that you mean business in the correction. It's important. If as a dad and a mom, when you sense the discipline and the child is making light of it, you may need to continue. Okay? And that's something that is important, and God need to give you wisdom. I have apologized to my children for over-spanking them. I know it's not pleasant to bring it up, but it's something that sometimes I spank out of anger. And I actually have to apologize to my... I mean, after you spank me 100 times and then you say you're sorry, it's like, But you know what? It's important that we make mistakes. But you know, that's why we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit even in this. Okay? Ken? I want to go through the last one. Any questions? Okay, feel free to discuss this after as well. Okay? Last one. I can listen to any type of music I want. And what I'm going to do after is give you the Bible principle for music. Okay? Anyone? That's right. I can listen to any type of music I want. Is that true first? Why? Why are some people already shake? Okay, who says, okay, we need to make a decision here. Who believes I can listen to any type of music I want? Okay, no one, you either say yes or no, okay? Who says, yes, I can listen to any type of music I want? Put out your hand. You can listen to, yes. Okay, it says, okay, amen. Okay, so that is actually the reason for music. That's correct. Okay, but can we listen to any type of music I want? Why not? Anyway, music is neutral, right? I'm playing the devil's advocate here. Evil communication, corrupt manners, yeah? Yeah. Okay, so music does release stress. Music is a spiritual force. Why? It's actually a spiritual force. Okay? Like, if you come into this room and you hear nice piano classical, you come in and you feel a sense of so-called peace and all that. When people go to church, they feel peace. But go to a rock concert, a lot of banging, and you start to jump. Music does influence you. Okay, don't buy the lie from the devil that you can listen to any type of music you want. And this is something very interesting. In the next few minutes, I just try to finish this. Where was music created? Where was music created? Okay? You realize the only thing that was created, not created on earth, is music. Music was created in heaven. Thou hast been in Eden, referring to Lucifer, the devil, You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was was I covering? That means Lucifer, every precious stone, okay, was his covering. In other words, his clothes, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, that refers to musical instruments, were created in thee. Lucifer wasn't just making music. He is the music. God made him to be the chief musician of heaven. Music is not created on earth. It was created in heaven for what purpose? Think about that. Music was created for what purpose? For worshipping God. From the beginning, music was for one purpose. It's for the worship of God. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Music was created to glorify God. God, you are worthy. And that's why in angels of heaven, they dare not bring any rock music into heaven. Why? Because it doesn't worship God. But because Satan fell and he created a whole branch of music that is totally anti-God. The words don't glorify God. In fact, can I say this? Just because music doesn't speak about God, but it speaks about the meaning of life, it speaks about other things that goes against the teachings of God, it is also anti-God. Okay? Because the purpose is to glorify God. Okay? When the morning stars stand together and all the sun shouted for joy, the morning stars refer to the angels of heaven. Okay, and all the sun shouted for joy. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and grace in your hearts to the Lord. There are two purposes of music. Number one, to glorify God. And number two, to edify one another. And I believe also God gave music to encourage us and to calm us sometimes as well. Okay? What about classical music? How does classical music work in? There are two quick things. Number one, many of the classical musicians, not all, many of classical musicians are actually Christians, like Bach. Johann Sebastian Bach is a Christian. And when he actually composed music, he composed it for the glory of God. Literally. All right? Mozart is not a Christian. So some of his music, in terms of the classical pieces, are according to good musical principles. But you know what? Classical music that is not actually composed, or rather, classical music is soothing to the soul, but it doesn't bring you towards God. You see a difference? I don't think it's wrong to listen to classical music because it doesn't actually push you away from God, but it doesn't bring you towards God too. It does calm your soul, it does calm your heart, because that's the purpose of the spiritual force behind music. Okay? So, please remember, even our music, we have to be very careful what we listen to. Young people, a lot of music comes through here. Sometimes it's hard to control when you have earphones and the music you listen to and you tolerate it, it does affect your soul. Very soon the way you sing is actually the music you hear. That's why for those who play the piano, be very careful of what kind of musical diet they have. Because whatever goes in will come out eventually. Okay? Any questions as we close? Any questions at all? I hope we will develop the testing mindset. I'm not, like I said at the beginning, we're not asking people to be paranoid about everything, but we need to be vigilant. And in order to test everything by the Word of God, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be studying God's Word. And I'm glad that you are making time to come, and hopefully even next year as we're planning the curriculum of Sundays, we will take it seriously to know different areas of family, church, and all that, so that our lives can be seen in the will of God. Okay, as we grow in Christ and our children grow in Christ too. All right, any questions? And I just want to highlight this. Why I talk about music? Music is a very subtle, very big influential force in many families. Everyone listens to music, especially the younger generation. They like to put this on and basically block out the world. And this music becomes their life. Okay, how do I know? Take the music away from them for a few weeks and see how they behave. Okay, it's like you're taking away their God. And they will fight you. Oh, it won't control me. All right, okay, then children, if you think your music can't control you, then give it willingly to your parents. Okay, any questions? And these are important things which, unfortunately, any influence that comes to your life will contribute to how you make decisions in your life. Okay? Yeah, any questions? Okay, if not, we better close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that all of us, Lord, will have a testing mindset. I pray that we'll be serious-minded, Lord, about making sure that our life glorify God. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. And I pray, Father, that we will truly walk with you according to your will, and we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.